So thank you, Lord, for the beautiful word today and for this beautiful feast of Christ the King. May we recognize you as our King, Lord. Thank you and praise your name. Well, I've just got over jet lag from my return from the Holy Land. So I had the beautiful opportunity of being in the place where Jesus was born and celebrating Mass there. Celebrating Mass in Nazareth at the place where the Annunciation took place, where he grew up. Celebrating Mass on the edge of the Sea of Galilee at Capernaum, which was the town of Jesus himself. And celebrating Mass in the Garden of Gethsemane and kissing the rock, which is understood to be the place where Jesus sweated drops of blood for our sake, and celebrating Mass on Mount Calvary, which of course was very special because every Mass is an identity with Calvary and the saving event of Jesus won for us, and kissing the very place where it's understood that he rose from the dead. And so I feel drawn more deeply into the mystery of Jesus through having walked the journey with him in the Holy Land. I feel more the love of Christ within my heart and desire to worship him and to be aware of the truth that Christ is everything, that he is all, that he is enough. He is more than enough in my life, and I'm able to say it confidently in the lives of everyone, that he is our King that we celebrate today. Now, when Jesus began his proclamation in Mark's Gospel, it says, he spoke, "The time has come. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news." The kingdom of God, the rule of God, his great love and mercy and power and authority has come into the world. But the kingdom very different from that of earthly kings and earthly rulers. You know, a king that was born in a stable and placed into a feeding trough for animals as his first resting place as a child. A different sort of king. A king of great humility and love. A king who came to bring peace to the human heart where there was no peace before. Not a king that comes to dictate and to rule and to oppress, but a king that comes to set free and to liberate and make new. And we know when he came in to Jerusalem riding on a donkey, as we're told in all the Gospels, it was very significant. Because usually a king would come into his city on a war horse, but rather on a donkey, to fulfill the prophecy of Zechariah that the Messiah king would be a king of peace. And they laid out their clothes before him and palm branches, and they cried out, "Hosanna to the King! Hosanna to the King who comes in the name of the Lord, who brings peace to Jerusalem, brings peace to our hearts." This is the Jesus that we honour today and worship him in this Mass, the King of Peace, the King who is Lord of all, that has come to reign in each one of our hearts. And we know that as he stood before Pilate, he said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my followers would have rose up to protect me and to defend me from being captured. But my kingdom's not of this world." And Pilate says, "Well, you're a king then, after all." He said, "Yes, I am a king. Now, I was born for this. I came into the world for this, to witness to the truth. And all who are on the side of truth will listen to my voice." Jesus identifying himself, yes, as the King. The one who's come to win our hearts, the one who's come to find a place within our lives, the one who's come to claim our hearts for himself, that we belong to him, and our allegiance will be given to him rather than to so many other gods that we may choose to adopt as we go through this journey here and this short pilgrimage here on earth. But rather, he would be Lord of our lives. He's come for that purpose. Now, I had the opportunity of going down below the level of the normal streets of Jerusalem, at the place where the convent of the Notre Dame de Sion Sisters is. You go underneath and you find a pavement there, which is a Roman pavement. And remember when Pilate was judging Jesus, it says he set up his chair of judgment on the pavement, the lithostratos in Greek, or the Gabbatha in Hebrew. That very place where Jesus was tried, where he stood before Pilate. On those stones I stood as well and thought about the significance of the sacrifice of Jesus for us. And you know, close by in the Praetorium, where the Antonia fortress was that Pilate lived in, there's on the stones, the Roman stones are still there, some markings. And they're very clearly markings of a game. This is a game that the Roman soldiers used to play, a game called the Game of the King. And the markings are about the king being ridiculed. And of course, that was the place after Jesus was scourged mercilessly, that then they forced the only crown that he ever received on his head, the crown of thorns, into his forehead to pierce him. And then they mocked him, "Hail, King of the Jews." Their game became alive, using Jesus as the pawn. And they falsely bowed down before him and whipped him and slapped his face. Humiliated for our sake. How gracious is our King. And then he was laden with the cross and went to Calvary for our sake. I walked the Via Dolorosa 3 times. And each time was deeper in the appreciation of the gift of his immense love for us, that he allowed himself to be humiliated and torn apart and scourged and beaten, allowed himself to have those soldiers put that heavy cross upon him and to go to Calvary for our sake. So the time I came to Mount Calvary and celebrating Mass there, realizing the depth of the love of Jesus, our King, that he did it for you and for me, how gracious and kind he is of heart. And we see in today's gospel how as he's hanging on the cross, he's still not thinking of himself but of the men that are next to him hanging there also. And one of them turns to him, receives the grace to open his heart to Jesus the Saviour. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says those words, "This day, this very day, you'll be with me in paradise." What a way to die. I trust that's the way each one of us will die. And we sang that song as we went through the Via Dolorosa. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He's already come into his kingdom. That's what we celebrate. That when he's raised up on the cross for our sake, the kingdom has come. The kingdom of light and love and truth and goodness. That the love in the heart of Christ has overcome all the hatred in the world. that the goodness in the heart of Christ has overcome all the evil that has ever committed in the human race. That the mercy in the heart of Christ has broken all the violence and the cycle of violence that happens in this world. That the humility in the heart of Christ has brought down the proud. The victory has been won in Jesus, who hung on that cross for our sake. And we can celebrate it every Mass. Every Mass is a major celebration of thanksgiving and entering into that victory of Christ, the King of love on Calvary. He has established as King, of course, through his resurrection, when the Father raised him from the dead gloriously and triumphantly. He's put all things under his feet. There's no powers in this earth that can come against him, and hence can come against us who live in Christ. We can live in his victory, in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was God the Father raised him from the dead and gave him the name which is above every other name. So now at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is Lord. That's what the early Christians sang out and could not shut up saying. They had to speak out the truth that Jesus is Lord, Kurios in the Greek. Because you see, the emperor was worshipped as Lord, as Kurios. And the Christians, by proclaiming Jesus is Lord, are saying there's no other power in this world, even the Roman emperor, that we'll bow down before. We'll only bow down before Jesus Christ, who is Lord. We will worship him. And all of our love and all of the energy and passion of our hearts will be for him and for his kingdom. And we'll allow his kingdom to reign in our hearts. We'll allow him to persuade and win us to himself. So we will live for him. And we'll prepare to die for him if necessary. Because Jesus is Lord. He is King. And they put over the cross, didn't they? I-N-R-I. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Huh? In three languages, Hebrew, Latin and Greek. To proclaim that he is the King. Pilate didn't mean to do that. But he said, scripsi scripsis. I've written. He wouldn't take it down. Because in God's providence, it needed to be proclaimed to the whole world that Jesus is King. And that's what we proclaim today. And we know that because he's now risen from the dead, he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end of all things. That he gives meaning and purpose to everything in human history. Human history is meant to find its whole focus around him. We have actually done our dating that way, although people want to change it these days. But that moment of Calvary and the consequent resurrection is the heartbeat of the world. It's the heartbeat of everything. It's where we gain our sense of meaning and purpose as a human race from that moment and from nowhere else. Because Jesus is Lord. And so it's great this day to come to the Eucharist and to open our hearts to him again. To open our hearts and our lives. To allow him to persuade us and to take hold of our hearts more deeply. Allow him to possess us more. Allow him to have the sway over our wills, which can be so often working against the goodness of God. So often seeking out ways that are taking us down evil paths. No, we turn back to him with all our hearts. And open ourselves to Jesus, the Saviour, the one who has redeemed us, the one who has shed the last drop of his blood for our sake. Open our hearts to Jesus, who is Lord, King of all, and allow him to be my Lord. And there's where the true peace is found. As I said in the second reading, he reconciled all things by shedding his blood on the cross. He brought all things right by shedding his blood. Everything can come right into your life to the degree that you open your heart to Jesus. Everything can come right in our families to the degree that we open our hearts to the Christ. Everything will come right in our country to the degree that we open our hearts to the living Christ, who is the Lord of Australia. Everything will come right in the world if we open our hearts to the living Christ. Because he is the Lord of all the world. Let us make him Lord of our personal lives and not hold anything back from him. Because if he's not Lord at all in your life, he's not Lord at all in your life. So allow him this night to claim you more, to claim your allegiance as king, that your loyalty is to him first and foremost. You'll bow down before no other gods. And you remember, Jesus himself was tempted, remember? That third temptation where Satan came to him and he laid out before him all the kings of the world, all the kingdoms of the world. He said, you can have all of this if only you just bow down before me. And that's a temptation that comes to each one of us in one way or another. Many things are offered to us. The enemy will provide all sorts of exciting ways to get us off track from the one true path to God. This earthly life we have is very short. It's over in an instant. And the decisions we make now are forever, for eternity. And the biggest decision of your life is simply to make a decision for Jesus. That Jesus is Lord. That Jesus, who has come and saved you through his death on the cross, that he is the one who you'll put your allegiance, your heart will be for him. That you're passionately given for him. And every decision you make in your life will be made out of that perspective of faith. Faith in Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And bless his holy name.